Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Happy Friday! Happy Friday!
Good to have you back on a Friday. It's been a while.
Feels good, yeah. And it is perfect weather outside. We have a nice weekend in store. We have lots of sports to go over.
Yes.
You know, this is the time when we go through all of the NFL games.
Yeah, the last couple of Fridays, well, that's what Bleck and Abdallah and myself have done. We've just gone through all of the games on the schedule and have a kind of a brief chat and just get your football on.
For those just getting into their car, it's Cubs and Sox tonight,
ooh,
too.
Yes.
On the South Side, Aloy will not play. Aloy Jimenez will not play this weekend with a mild foot sprain. They want to keep him off his feet, and hopefully he's good to go for the postseason. So that's the news coming out of baseball. We took a lot of phone calls early in the show about Rick Renteria and his bonehead move last night to put Rodon in. And if you want to participate with anything on your mind about the Bears, about the Cubs and Sox, we've got some Billy Donovan audio, 332-3776. And remember, you can now watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Waddle is really the last man standing inside the First Midwest Bank studio.
Yeah, I'm here.
As we're taking some precautionary measures these days.
That's what we do.
So wave to the camera. Wave
to
everybody.
I got another COVID test yesterday morning. I'm clean. I'm negative.
Very good. That is always good.
I had to take my daughter in to get her wisdom teeth cut out today, so I wanted to make sure I had got the all good sign so I could go and be with her.
Same thing happened. Did you see that Kirk Herbstreit was exposed to COVID, but so far he is tested negative?
Yeah.
They're just out of precautionary measures. He's going to do game day from
Nashville
his
in
home.
His home. Yeah,
from his home. So, all right, take me through this, Waddle. Right, let's go through all these games.
We've got the Los Angeles Rams visiting Buffalo. I got a couple of 2-0 teams. I got to tell you, I've not been a fan of either quarterback. Josh Allen, I thought, was just, you know, kind of was doing it with smoke and mirrors. I didn't think he was an accurate passer. He was just kind of running over everyone. He's a big guy. But Buffalo's got a good defense. I have been a huge fan of what the Rams have been doing.
Yeah.
They've been much better up front. They're protecting Jared Goff, and the ball is coming out of his hand really fast. With that said, I like Buffalo at home in this game.
So do I. I like Buffalo, and I do like the Rams have surprised me. And you know, the Bills seem to be, I know they were a postseason team, but they have continued the rise, and the quarterback play has gotten better so far.
Well, and you know why it gets better?
There.
Yeah, because they traded for Stephon Diggs, who I believe so far this year has really played well. He's got 16 catches for 239 yards and a touchdown in two games.
And I believe this is also the second trip out east for the Rams to this season.
Right, so, they were in Philadelphia.
Yes, right.
They put it on the Eagles. But
they also Brown, too, who's been really good for them as far as catching the football.
Yeah, so. No doubt. Washington is at Cleveland. I give Ron Rivera a ton of credit for having this Washington football team be competitive defensively. As I said earlier, they've got 11 sacks. Cleveland finally looked, Baker Mayfield finally looked good in that Monday night game. Was it Monday night or
Thursday night?
What was it?
It was a Thursday night.
Oh, early Thursday night. Against the Cincinnati Bengals, because Kevin Stefanski dedicated himself in the offense to running the football. Kareem Hunt, and who's the other kid that?
Chubb.
Yes.
Don't say that fast with Hunt and Chubb.
I know. That's a good point. But I finally thought, despite, you know, an ill-advised throw that ended up as an interception, I thought that Baker Mayfield finally looked good in the offense.
But, I don't know what I'm going to see yet. Like,
I don't
every time I think Cleveland's arrived, whether it was a couple years ago, then they totally lay an egg last year, like, do we think they're going to take a step in this game? Or could they, again, let everybody down?
I would never give 7.5 points or whatever it is to anybody Cleveland's playing. So, I mean, like, I would take Washington in this game just to cover.
I still don't like the quarterback, though. I know we were talking about their defense.
Yeah.
But it's going to be... It will be an interesting game, though. We'll see if Cleveland could take the next step.
Tennessee is at Minnesota. This is kind of like, hey, Minnesota, who are you going to be? Like, who are you? You're 0-2. You've been. I did not have them in the postseason.
Doesn't Kirk Cousins go through this sort of slump early every year? And then he's got to have a meeting with Thielen and get things straight. They have to call him out, don't they? It happened last year. Do you remember that? And then all of a sudden, like you said, Kirk Cousins was leading them to a win in New Orleans in the postseason. I still don't like him. I know you like him more than me.
But I don't trust the entire team. He's got 4 interceptions so far this year. I think he had like 6 all of last year. So it has not gone well for Minnesota. I actually like Tennessee to go up there and give it to him.
Doug doesn't like him either. So it would be great for the Bears if Tennessee could go up there and put Minnesota at 0-3.
Speaking of Doug, I like the Raiders at the Patriots a little more than he does. I think the Raiders can do a lot. They can run the football. I think Derek Carr has shown you that he's grown a little bit in this offense.
Is Jacobs healthy?
I think he's healthy enough. I think he's
listed as questionable this week, but Henry Ruggs, I saw, is out for this game.
He's your speedster, right?
Yeah, the rookie
speedster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was impressed with what New England did.
I was
How
too.
How could you not be against Seattle?
They did also, though, give up 5 touchdown passes to Russell Wilson. I was impressed with their offense. Defensively, you don't often see a Bill Belichick defense give up what they gave up. So
I like the Patriots in this game.
I'm going to pick the Patriots to win. I don't think I would lay the 6 points. The Giants are hosting the 49ers. The 49ers, I already told you, Nick Mullins is going to start. I think there's 6 or 7 guys that won't be available. I don't care. I still would take Nick Mullins and the 49ers over the Giants.
Even with 3.5?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't bet it.
Yeah,
but
I'd play
the 49ers on the money line.
Devontae Freeman signed with the Giants, but he's not going to be ready for this game, right?
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, we saw the Giants. They're not good, but, you know, last week they came back. I give them credit for at least not giving up in that game, considering how hurt they were.
Yeah, I mean, even without Solomon Thomas and Bosa, that's still a defense that gets after you. I would take San Francisco. The Bengals are at the Eagles. This is an Eagles team that needs a win, and I'm not so sure the Bengals are a layup. I liked what I saw from Joe Burrow.
But I did too, but I didn't like them on that Thursday night game. Like we said about Cleveland, Cleveland looked good in that game. And I know the Bengals looked pretty good against the Chargers in the opener.
Bengals have had some injuries with their defense. Their defense didn't look nearly as good as I thought they would early in the season.
I mean, like, the Eagles are a team that I continue to hold on hope to. Maybe I'm stupid. Maybe, you know, Carson Wentz, I still think of him in that one run he had before he hurt his knee.
He's forcing
the
football.
He's never been the same.
He's thrown 4 picks. He's been sacked 8 times already. Their entire offensive line is on the injured list, so I would probably take the Eagles to win in a close game, but I'd stay clear from that one as well.
Okay.
I fear for Deshaun Watson in Pittsburgh just because the Pittsburgh defense comes after you, and they never protect Deshaun Watson. You see what they've done without DeAndre Hopkins. I like the Steelers at home. And again, Big Ben has continued to get better with the more snaps that he gets.
Has anyone had it tougher than the Texans to start the season?
No,
you get Kansas City in that opener last week, then the Ravens, and then this week on the road in Pittsburgh. You know, it's tough enough when Bill O'Brien's coaching your team.
Yes.
Then they line you up against 3
Bill
straight like that.
I don't mind Bill O'Brien the coach. I don't like Bill O'Brien the general manager.
You know why I mind Bill O'Brien the coach is because he doesn't take care of Deshaun Watson, the quarterback.
That's fair.
So I don't like him at all.
Okay, that's fair. Keep an eye on this Indianapolis defense. The Jets come to town. The Jets stink. Phillip Rivers still scares the hell out of me because he likes to throw the ball to the other team. But I think that's a Colts defense. They lost Malik Hooker, I believe, last week for the season with an injury. But I think that's going to be the first good defensive test that Mitch and the Bears offense will face.
Yes, it will be a good scouting game. I know this is a 3:05 game, so we will get to see it on Red Zone and stuff.
Yes.
So a chance to see next week's opponent, a chance to see, like you said, Phillip Rivers, and the Jets just absolutely stink.
I don't know how Adam Gase keeps his job. I really don't.
Will he keep it long enough to have the John Fox Bowl? I think that's a Thursday night game, isn't it, next week, where it's the Jets against the Broncos? Weren't we joking about that yesterday?
Yeah, he'll be.
It's Adam Gase against Vic Fangio.
Yeah, he'll still still be the coach at that point, but that's an unwatchable game. Unwatchable game. Carolina's at the Chargers. I like watching the Chargers now because you're going to see Herbert play.
Yes.
Because Tyrod Taylor's still out.
Will he have a step back after the surprise opener, or will he continue to surprise us with how good he looks?
It's a horse manure Panthers defense at this point, I believe. So,
and no Christian McCaffrey.
Again. Yeah, no McCaffrey.
That's
so.
Right. McCaffrey is out.
Tampa Bay's at Denver. The Bucs seem to get on track a little bit last week. I think the Denver defense is still pretty tough, so this would be a good challenge for Tom Brady.
Is this Jeff Driscoll's start, too, for the Broncos?
It is.
Yeah, they just signed Blake Bortles, too.
We saw Jeff Driscoll last year for the Lions. So, like, usually you would say going into Denver in September is never easy.
Yes.
Altitude, heat, and the crowd. But now with Jeff Driscoll... you know, like, does Tampa win and cover the number at 5.5?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I love playing against Detroit because I don't know why people still think Detroit's going to be one of the sexy teams this year. Detroit's at Arizona. I'm with you. I think the Cardinals, especially now with DeAndre Hopkins, they're a fun team to watch. They were actually my play of the week at -5.5.
So they have Kenyon Drake in the backfield. They have Christian Kirk, right?
Yeah.
At wide receiver.
He's out this week. He's out with injury. Yeah.
You still have Larry Fitzgerald holding on. That is just it's a fun offense to watch.
It is a very fun offense to watch.
It's our love, both of us,
yes,
the Cardinals.
Dallas is at Seattle. You know how I feel about Russell Wilson. That defense, that Seattle defense, is a little bit banged up. I don't see Dallas going to Seattle and coming out with a W. I like Seattle at home.
It's going to be a good game. Like, after the Bears game, we have some really good games with Dallas, Seattle, and then we've got the Sunday night game, which is Packers, Saints, and then Monday night is Kansas City, Ravens.
I was just going to say, it's going to be a good football weekend. I like the Green Bay Packers. Everyone, I think the Sharps are playing New Orleans.
They are. I know. We're meatheads. I'm going with the Packers as well in the points.
I am too. Michael Thomas is out. They've ruled him out.
But Davante Adams is also, isn't he questionable with a hamstring?
I believe so, yes. I don't know if he'll play, but I'm not settled on the New Orleans Saints at this point. And then the game of the week is Kansas City at Baltimore. This is an interesting conversation because I'd probably take Baltimore. Like,
even 3.5, that's the key number, Waddle.
I think I would. It's interesting. If you've got a couple of weeks to get ready for Baltimore, you've got a better chance to beat them than if you're coming off a Kansas City team that was just playing San Diego and you got a segue from San Diego to Baltimore. It's like going from the hot tub to the cold tub. It's such a different experience. That's why in the regular season, I think I'm picking the Baltimore Ravens to win this game by like 6.
Wow, I'll take the Chiefs in the points, but I think it's going to be a fantastic game.
Yeah.
Watch these two quarterbacks go at each other. There hasn't been a Monday night game like this in a long time.
Yeah. And finally, our Bears are at Atlanta. I know we've spent a lot of time talking about this. Atlanta's really banged up. 6 guys, I can't name them all, are either ruled out or they're questionable for the game. I think this is a tough spot for the Bears. I think it's a really good test. I want to see their offense put up a big number, but I'm still in prove-it mode. Show me. I'm still in Missouri. I'm in the show-me state. I've got the Bears losing this game in a squeaker. I've got Atlanta winning 24-23.
Yeah, and I'm not a hater, but again, this was before I knew about the injuries. Sunday night, I jumped on the Falcons -3. So I have them winning. And, like, Julio Jones is obviously a huge key. But the Bears, I'm in prove-it mode still with the Bears.
Yeah. Well, think about it. Atlanta now, they've got the Packers next week. Dan Quinn's fighting for his life. And I don't know how much you put stock in a team that is feeling in week 3 their season may slip through their fingers and their coach get fired.
Well, he was on the hot seat last year, too, and saved his job when he took over play-calling duty.
Yeah, so Dirk Cutter, I think, is now calling plays for them, right? So
he took over play-calling duties on defense.
Defense, yeah.
Quinn,
So I think, listen, I'm not going to be surprised in the slightest if the Bears, that's why my like it was the Bears getting 3.5. But this is a game, this is a tough spot for them. You're going to go on the road, you're going to have to score even if Julio Jones isn't there. So I like Atlanta just by a point.
All right. I like the Falcons, too, but show us. 312-332-3776 if you want to talk Bears-Falcons. Cubs and Sox on the table, too. Is this the least enthused you've been about a Cubs-Sox series? And I want to play this for you, Waddle. I don't know if you heard the Billy Donovan today with the cap and hoodie.
I have not.
And this is everything we've ever asked for from the Bulls organization, and it made me tingle. That's next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
So much going on this weekend with the Football Friday, with the Cubs and the Sox. But I wanted to make sure before we left today that those who missed it, Cap and Jay Hood had Billy Donovan on this morning at 8 o'clock. I think he spent about 25 minutes with the guys. Really good and, like, just a great command. You know, he's going to win every press conference. He's going to win the interview. He's really good. But this answer, twofold, really got me excited because this is what I've asked the Bulls organization to do. It's the biggest question mark we've had about the Bulls and their national perception. Jonathan Hood asked Donovan about, you know, recruiting and about helping him also with the draft. So the answer will start Billy Donovan talking about the draft, but then he'll get to the main point about whether or not he's willing as the coach to be sort of that front-facing face of the franchise and you know, go out and recruit the superstars who are available free agency. Take a listen to Billy Donovan's answer.
Well, the one thing in talking to Arturis and Mark, and I really appreciate, because we had a conversation about both things, and I think it's very, very hard in today's day and age in the NBA for a head coach to really, really understand or know the college game. There's so many games in the NBA. You're focusing on your team, and the season ends. You may have a little bit of time to watch some film and talk and try to, you know, gather your thoughts or opinions on a player through film. But generally, you have scouting staffs that are basically going around the country, overseas, watching, gathering information on players. I think they're a lot more equipped than I would be as a head coach in terms of the draft, of understanding the draft. Now, Arturis, when I spoke to him and Mark, the one thing I really appreciated was, you know, they wanted me involved in that process. You know, what does the team look like? What does our team need? You know, what kind of not only player but personality would best fit, you know, with this group? So I think that was, you know, something that I would really love to be able to help and to do. But ultimately, Arturis and Mark Eversley are going to be the ones that, you know, are really doing a lot of the legwork and the groundwork for a long period of time. And, you know, I think they'll bring me into that process. I think the free agency part, and they asked me this specifically, you know, how willing would I be to get on planes or to try to help and, you know, be involved and be active. And I really would love to do that. I want to help the organization any way I can. So however I can be utilized to help with free agency, I would definitely be more than willing to do that. I think trade deadline situations that, you know, they want my opinion because, you know, when you're in the NBA, you're seeing these guys on a more consistent basis than you are college guys. So, you know, they're the ones that are doing all the homework and the background work. But I think that in my discussions with Mark and with Arturis, it was more like, hey, listen, we need some help here. We need to partner with you. We want to, you know, hear what you have to say. We'd like to watch film with you. We want to talk about players. And I really appreciated that. You know, that part of it was really, really great and look forward to trying to help those guys in any way I can.
The thing that made me tingle, Waddle, was twofold. Was one, Billy Donovan's answer that, yes, he wants to be able to go on planes and to go chase the free agents.
Right.
But even more importantly is Karnishevich knows how important that is. He asked this during the interview process, saying, hey, Billy, are you willing to get on a plane and go recruit a free agent with us? They know how important this is. They know the perception about the Bulls in the past. They know that the former vice president said, I'm not a recruiter. They know they have to turn everything around on how they're perceived. And already AK got on a plane with Mark Eversley, and they went down to Florida, and they turned his head. He was not expecting the Bulls to be recruited recruiting him. What they do, they changed his perception about the Bulls, and they landed Donovan. And they know how big of a thing this is for the Bulls going forward, and they're trying to get their ducks in a row so the next time the big free agent is on the market, they could finally land the guy.
It just sounds like a professional collaborative effort on all fronts. And that's what you need. You need everyone on the pulling on the same end of the rope, but you also need people, in my humble opinion, that have credibility. And Billy Donovan has that credibility. I don't think that Jim Boylan was going to, excel in that role. And I think as a group, everything you hear from these guys is stuff you got to love. And listen, maybe I shouldn't, but I will. I tip my cap to Michael Reinsdorf and to Jerry as well for being willing to give him a 4-year, $24 million contract.
I'm shocked.
You know?
I'm surprised by the whole thing. Just a month ago, we were worried about Jim Boylan keeping his job.
Well, they didn't want to pay. Remember, you don't want to end up paying two coaches. I mean, that was one of the issues.
Well, not only have they paid two coaches, now they're paying the second coach a really high price.
Right.
So that's great. And the other thing was, we kept hearing about Karnišević, is he's a very deliberate worker.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to work at his own speed. But what did he do here all of a sudden?
Oh, he pounced.
Pounced. He was doing Zoom interview after Zoom interview, getting to know all the assistant coaches. Boom, Billy Donovan became available, something he did not think. And 2 days later, he was in Florida with Eversley.
I'm really excited to see, like, what their plan is. Like, there's two things I'm very excited to see. I want to see how they evaluate the current roster. And, well, there's three things. How they evaluate the guys that they want to keep. The guys that they feel should be part of their core going forward. I want to see how they develop them. I want to see what they think of them. And then I want to see just who it is that they're going after and who's receptive to the plan. Like, who's going to give them a good hard look? Like, how desirable of a destination is this going to be because of the new group that's in place? Those are all things I can't wait to kind of see unfold.
And it's going to be interesting to see how they come up with their conclusions on how they feel about the current roster. Because, like we've always said, do we really know about Lauri Markkanen? Has he been in the best hands?
Right.
So, like, do you let him play a year, here and get him in your building and put him in the best position? And then if he's still sort of good but not really, then I don't know. Like, if there's a player in a staff, like, what if Bradley Beal can be had?
Right.
Bradley Beal's been talking a lot about.
Played for Billy in Florida.
Yes, and wanting Billy Donovan and the Bulls to get together. What if Washington's open to a trade? Would you trade your current draft pick and a player or two to get Bradley Beal? Like,
this is like, I'm going to trust this group. Again, I think it comes with just some blind allegiance here. If they decide to make a big deal, like, I'm riding with them.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
I don't know if it's blind allegiance. It's more benefit of the doubt now, isn't
Same,
it?
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's one way to describe it. I'm just saying, I if they come up with a big plan or something that is kind of a big move, I'm going to ride with it and be excited about it to see what direction they can take it.
Yeah, so for any Bulls fan that hears that, with the whole interview, ESPN Chicago app, if you haven't downloaded it, please do. You get all the shows live with one touch of a button. All the podcasts are located there on demand, and he was on for 25 minutes. But when I heard that, instead of saying, well, if a free agent doesn't want to be here, do we really want him to begin with? I'm not a recruiter. You have the guy, the coach, telling you that the new vice president said how much of a priority it was. Hey, will you be willing to get on a plane and recruit a free agent?
Yeah.
Like, it was music to my ears, and I'm very, very excited.
Amen.
All right, Sox fans, how angry at Rick Renteria are you? How bad of a decision was that last night? Cubs-Sox chatter coming up, and if you want to weigh in on what you think is going to happen Sunday with the Bears, is this going to be a game where the defense has to step up more and slow down the Atlanta offense, or will this be a challenge for the Bears offense to score and to be in a shootout? 332-3776. We'll get to all of that coming up next.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home For sports.
So excited for the weekend. So excited for Cubs and Sox. Well, I mean, sort
of. Really?
Sort of.
Are
excited.
You?
Yeah.
Are you, do you fear? Do you have any fear?
No. Okay. No. Well, I'm not fearful anymore. I feel like I'm already expecting the worst.
Somebody's
in the postseason.
Fearful.
Who's fearful?
Well, according to Cubs manager David Ross, this is from Patrick Mooney's Twitter handle. Cubs manager David Ross said, "This is a talented group. Everybody that I've talked to outside of our organization fears this group."
I mean, maybe in 2016 or 17.
Let's be honest. Like, it's 2020. You've had 57 games to kind of define who you are for now. Is there anybody that's really, like, respect is one thing. Fear is another. Do you really think there's anybody fearing this Cubs lineup?
I fear the Dodgers. Who else do you fear in baseball? Is there anyone
really
else besides
the Yankees probably still?
Really? They're still middle of the pack.
You don't want to face that lineup, do you?
I would love to see Sox-Yankees. I mean, I would love to see the Sox win. I'm not a Sox fan, but I would. I'd love to see them win. But they're, just the arrows, momentum. They always say momentum in baseball is the next day starting pitcher. So, again, you can line up Yu Darvish and Kyle Hendricks in games 1 and 2.
You
can line up Giolito followed by Keuchel, and maybe all that will be good. But it just doesn't feel right for either team right now.
Do you fear, would you fear? You wouldn't fear, but you'd have to strap it down to play the Padres, that lineup.
Young, hungry team. Aren't they the National League version of the White Sox?
I think that's fair. Fernando Tatis, 15 home runs, 41 driven in, hitting .278 with an on-base percentage of .369. Machado, would it surprise you to know that Manny Machado has had a very good 2020?
What's good? Give me his numbers.
He's got 16 home runs. He's driven in 47. He's hitting .313. His on-base percentage is .376. He's slugging .603. He's got an OPS of .979 and a WAR. I don't know if this is the WAR says 2.9.
That's pretty good.
Especially in
through
57.
60 games.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you remember, that just continues to add up. So that's the guy that both Cubs fans and Sox fans wanted.
Right.
You know, meantime, Chris Bryant is 5 RBIs. Like, I'm fearful of the Cubs, but in a bad way as a Cubs fan. You know, and I heard Rizzo say on Cap Show, we never got to this, that he has more blisters on his hands from working on his swing than he's ever had. Maybe the problem is too much. You know, like, the one thing that Joe always said was, guys, relax a little bit. Take American Legion Day. Like, these guys just keep grinding and keep grinding. I don't think the work has been missing from this team. If anything, they're inside their own heads. Working too much. They're trying to look at their swing. They're too worried about whether they have video or not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sometimes you squeeze the bat handle a little too tight because you're pressing.
You always say work what?
Work smart, not, you know, work like a thoroughbred. Thoroughbreds work smart. Jackasses,
smarter, not harder.
Yeah, jackasses work, you know, overwork.
Yeah,
something
so if,
like that.
Like, I don't know if he literally has blisters on his hands. But I would say back off a little bit. I'd tell, I don't think they're supposedly, Jesse's telling me what he's hearing is that Bryant may try and play this weekend.
You know how I feel.
What's the reward?
Yeah, I don't know. I would think, I'm with you. I would think that what you want to be is as close to 100% healthy or as healthy as you can be when the postseason starts.
Well, look at your swing, you know, get your mind right. And do what you can to feel like it's a fresh start for you when the postseason begins. Patrick is in Oak Lawn wanting to talk about last night's ugly, ugly White Sox finish. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, you know what? There's 2 points I want to make. First of all, the first one, he cost all 4 games. Renteria, all 4 games. The first game was they had spotted Cleveland 4-4 and they caught up, right? Tied it up. And then he brings somebody named Jason Fry, and he gives it right back. Somebody named Jason Fry. Now, you're talking about all these bottom feeders in their bullpen, okay? The second game is he brings in somebody named Ruiz. I never even knew they had a Ruiz on the team. They give up a home run to Ramirez. And then the third game, he beats in Gio Gonzalez, who should be in the game in the middle innings. You don't beat him in the ninth inning, a tie game. I guess a right-hander, right-handed guy. And then the fourth game is, you got all these studs sitting in the bullpen. You got Hewer. You got Garrett Crochet. Bummer just came back.
Bummer's back. You're going to bring back Rodon and Bummer on the same night, and if Bummer is available, and he was because he pitched the next inning, you put Bummer, the guy who strikes guys out and who's been so dominant the last couple of years, in a 4-1 game with the bases loaded. That's where Bummer pitches. Who's a starting pitcher who's been hurt the last couple of years and hasn't pitched out of the bullpen in 5 years.
And then go to my second point. This is, y'all know about basketball. I mean, I'm trying to make a reference point. You remember when Doug Collins was replaced by Phil Jackson?
Yes.
Okay, and they said that he couldn't take him from point A to point B, right? Or point B to point A. Right. Is this the same thing with Renteria? They need somebody else in there, because he obviously, on the big stage, he ain't cutting.
Well, here, I've heard that before. It was the phrase went because Jerry said Doug was the guy to take us from point A to point B. We need a guy now to take us from point B to point C. Doug Collins was five times the coach that Ricky Renteria was. Doug Collins was still a great coach.
Yes.
And you can't compare a Doug Collins to a Rick Renteria or to anybody else. Ricky's good for the room.
He's created a nice culture there, hasn't he?
Yes. But you don't want him in these important games telling you each and every one of these moves get more and more magnified. I called it magnetized earlier.
Yeah, that's good.
It's more in every one. You're going to say, oh, is he making the right move? And the players are going to be asking that after last night.
Yeah, no, I mean, trust is a big issue. Trust is a big issue, especially when these stakes go up.
312-332-3776. A question that we asked Sox fans too earlier is, would you be open to bringing in A.J. Hinch, who won a World Series with Houston, but was the manager while cheating was going on? He didn't set it up, but he didn't stop it. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to bring in Alex Cora, who was on that Houston bench and was the manager in Boston when they won the World Series? And obviously, as Joey's brother, and Joey was a coach for the White Sox for several years. Would you be open to that? Or would you want to stay away because of what happened with Bolt?
You want to give him a second chance?
Yes, I would.
I'm a second chance guy as well.
Yeah, especially A.J. Hinch. George in Old Town, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Georgie.
Guys, I like the Bears this weekend running away. I mean, Matt Ryan's the most immobile quarterback. They don't have to worry about Julio Jones. On the offensive side, they don't have any defensive ends. The Bears are healthy. They got the extra rusher. Bears, 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 baby.
I can buy it, George. I mean, listen, you make a lot of good points. This Bears pass rush, you know, they had 4 sacks last week. I think that they showed improvement. I think the defense will continue to find its stride a little bit. You probably won't have Julio Jones. Their secondary has got some missing parts. I mean, you could sell me on that, but I also could turn around and tell you that, you know, they should have lost to the Detroit Lions, who were without their best receiver, their best linebacker, 3 of their top cornerbacks for the last 20 minutes of that game. So, and then a Giants team that they just hung on against last week without Saquon Barkley for the majority of the game, and their top receiver, Sterling Shepard, was out with a foot injury. I believe he just went on injured reserve. So, like, I get what you're saying, but I still have seen too many blemishes on this Bears team right now to think that they're just going to go on the road and beat a team that has their back completely against the wall.
I don't know what to expect from the Bears. I was shocked they fell behind in Detroit by as much as they did. I was shocked that they came back against Detroit. I was surprised how good they looked in the first half against the Giants with Mitch. And then I was shocked that they let that team back in the game with a chance to win.
Yeah.
So, like, through every half of football this year,
They've surprised me.
I know there's only been 4 halves, but they've surprised me. So I don't know what to expect going down to Atlanta.
Yeah, I don't think all their problems are solved. Like, you described the defense that has frustrated you. It's a defense that gave up 436 yards and what was it, 23 points, and really gave up a game-winning touchdown at the end.
Right, with no Kenny Golladay.
Right, it's an offense that has played, of the eight quarters, as you mentioned, they've played three good quarters. So, I mean, I need to see more before I feel really definitively that they're going to go on the road and beat a team that does have some difference-making players.
We invite your phone calls. Cubs or Sox, Bears this weekend. What do you think? 312-332-3776. The Bears did an about-face on something that they originally never wanted to touch. But today, not only did they touch it, they gave it a gigantic hug. We'll tell you about that coming up next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Remember when sports gambling was taboo? When like you had to hint it on TV. Oh,
Al Michaels.
Al Michaels. Yeah,
we used to get a kick out of Al Michaels, who would venture into that, you know, unacceptable zone every now and again. Yeah, you know what this field goal means. And we always used to kind of giggle like kids.
Yes. And then all of a sudden on Monday Night Football, we're watching the Raiders in Vegas.
Yeah.
And while we're playing on the app, you know, I'm trying to get a live bet in it. Raiders plus 390 as they trail by 10. I mean,
I'm laying in bed with a glass of wine in my phone trying to make a play on the Celtics and Heat game.
It's crazy, and it's a different world. The Bears have run, and they have hidden in the past from gambling.
Yes.
Today, the Bears announced they are aligning themselves with PointsBet as the first sports betting partner they've ever had.
It's a smart business move for them.
It's awesome. It's awesome. Like, as much as you can, align yourself with all these things. Carmen was painting the picture this morning of buying that land at Arlington, building a casino right door to the new stadium, and go in and you can play a little game, you can tailgate, you can gamble, then you can watch the Bears in their new dome stadium where Arlington is.
I was in that area today, and it's very accessible.
Yes,
very accessible.
We got something to give away, don't we, Tyler?
Yeah.
Yes, we do. So today is Friday. That means we've got the Screwball sign-off.
They have been, by the way, Sylvie, you've said this in the past. They have been a huge new sponsor and a new partner for us, and we couldn't be happier with them. They've been a really cool group to be with.
And people have tweeted me saying that they've just tried Screwball and that they love it.
Yeah.
Well,
so
today,
welcome to them.
Yes.
Today, they are giving away a $200 gift card to Double J Sports Bar in Joliet. So now be caller 20. Now, caller 20, and you will win the gift card.
$200.
That
goes a long way.
Yes, it does.
All our friends in Joliet, ring it up at 332-3776. Caller 20 right now. Fernando in Oak Brook, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Fernando?
Hi, guys. First time caller. Huge fan. Thank you.
Thanks
we
for
appreciate
calling.
You. Thank you.
So real quick, guys. I know Sox, Cubs, both have been bad recently. As the playoffs started today, Cubs will play the Marlins, Sox will play the Yankees. At this point, Sox may even play the Indians, and the Cubs could possibly even play the Reds now, depending on how they finish the season.
Yes!
At this point, going into the playoffs, I honestly, it's hard to have any faith on either team making it past the first.
We lost Fernando.
But I agree with his point. At this point, it's hard to have faith in either team advancing based on what you've seen. I would say to you, though, I would be more inclined to tell you that the White Sox can have more traction in the postseason when it begins than the Cubs, because I've seen those bats.
Yes.
When they're hot.
Me too. Yeah. You wonder what this does, though, to a young team because of how big of heartbreakers they've been. Their heads have to be spinning after losing two in a row in walk-off style and now questioning their manager doing one of the stupidest things that we've ever seen. So, like,
but they're not scoring. They're not scoring, you know, what was it? 10 runs in 7 games.
No, they're not playing Detroit every game either, or Kansas City.
That's true.
You're going to have to win games 4-2. Like, that should have been a game they win 4-2 last night, 4-1. But they didn't. That was still enough, and you got good enough pitching, and if Ricky makes the right calls, they should have a good enough bullpen.
Yeah.
Mark in Lincoln Park, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mark.
Mark. Hey, boys, how are you?
Good.
Sylvie, first of all, I'm delighted to hear that you're feeling well and everything's good for yourself.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Long-time caller, long-time listener. Listen, I can't let you off the hook, though. I know you're over your treatment. To compare Doug Collins as a coach that's six times better than Ricky,
yes.
Come on, that is inaccurate.
Six times better than Ricky.
No, listen, Ricky delivered the Cubs. He identifies with the young player, especially the Latin speaker, okay? He serves a role. Doug Collins, I know, is your friend. Doug never won a thing. Ricky is now potentially setting up two Chicago teams to go into the World Series. White Sox going to do it this year? No, but give him another year. That guy is a tremendous coach, Sylvie, and give him the quality, give him the credit where credit's due.
He has a nice presence about him inside the clubhouse and setting the boundaries. But he was with the Cubs, what, 1 year in 2014 when they won 60-some games? I don't know what he...
Now, yeah,
this
I don't
year,
know.
He arrived early. So you give him the success this year. But Doug won a lot of games in the NBA. He won a lot of games for the Bulls, won a lot of games with Detroit. He won more games than with the Sixers. I know he coached in Washington as well. He got hired four times as a head coach.
I'm riding with you on that thought.
So, I mean, if not six times, five times the coach. So, speaking of that, do you want to feel old? I mean, you already do, so yeah, do I.
I was going to say, what are you rubbing it in for?
Today, do you know how old Scottie Pippen is?
55. I saw. Happy birthday to Scottie Pippen, 55 years old.
Scottie Pippen is 50 effing 5 years
old. Makes you feel old. You're right.
Makes you feel real old.
He looks good for 55.
He was just playing.
I know.
He was just winning championships.
Well, he wasn't just playing. I mean, he's been retired for quite some time, but he looks good for 55.
Oh, he looks great, yes. He's not aged. Scottie's not aged at all. So 55 years old.
Wow.
All right, who do you like tonight? Do you like, again, like Black was going with the Celtics again, but you're riding again with Miami.
I took the 3.5. I've got Miami plus 3.5, and I took Miami on the money line. They play an exciting brand of basketball, and they're in a groove right now. And
you're getting points.
And I'm getting 3.5. Yeah, I'm getting 3.5. I also have the Brewers on the money line. I just need them to finish the Cardinals off in the first game of this doubleheader. So I got a little something something on the line.
Why'd you put money on the Brewers?
I just had it. This is gambling for me. I saw Ponce de Leon was listed as the pitcher for the Cardinals. I was like, no, thank you. The other pitcher for the Brewers. He's a Moeller grad. So I said, I'm going to put a little cash down on the Moeller grad.
Oh, I see. There you go.
So it wasn't Ponce de Leon. It was Flaherty who had the start today.
There you go.
This is how I gamble. I gamble on stuff that doesn't even come true.
Oh, it wasn't even true then.
No, I read the box thing wrong. I read the preview wrong. I think he's pitching.
Game two?
Yeah, I think Ponce de Leon's
pitching
game two.
No wonder you asked me to turn this
game
on.
Yeah.
Well, work for you in game one. Go again.
So far,
do the same
so good.
Thing in game two.
By the way, I got to watch what's going on in the Central because if Milwaukee is, I think, a game or two under 500, the Cardinals are neck and neck with the Reds. If Milwaukee can beat the Cardinals in both ends of this doubleheader and the Reds can win tonight in Minnesota, the Reds are creeping closer to your Cubs. The Reds still have a chance to win the division. I think. Maybe not. I don't know, but I'm in.
I think there's still a chance. Just keep quiet over there.
Okay.
Have a great weekend. Bleck and Abdallah are next with the baseball show. You talk about a good hour here coming up. Great way to set you up for the big showdown between the Cubs and the White Sox. They're up in 2 minutes. Thanks to Doug Kazarian today. JD, Jeff Dickerson. And who else did we have today, Waddle? Was that it?
Or that was everyone.
That was it. And Tyler Aki, all by himself today.
Going back and forth, screening calls,
yes.
Running the board.
He's young. He can handle it.
Great work, Tyler. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. The baseball show coming up in 2 minutes. Have yourself a great weekend. It's ESPN 1000 and Go Bears.
Go Bears.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild?
world tonight. That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.